1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5 is what we're going to cover this morning. And you know, there is a sobering passage in Matthew chapter 7 that's straight from the lips of Jesus Christ. You don't have to turn there, I'll read it to you. But it has to do with the subject of spiritual imposters. And Jesus made this statement. He said that on judgment day that there would be people that would stand before him. And they would say, Lord, they would say, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not in thy name, Jesus, cast out devils? Have we not in thy name done many wonderful works? And Jesus said, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's a sobering passage to think there are people out there, he said, that are going to be doing many wonderful works to the visible eye. They're going to be casting out devils, supposedly. They're going to be prophesying in the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, they're imposters. I don't know you. And he said, I'm going to say to them on judgment day, depart from me, you that work iniquity. So what looked like wonderful works and prophesying in the name of Jesus and all that, in reality, he said, they were working iniquity. You see, things do not always appear as they seem on the surface. And so we have to be aware of that. We have to know that and be aware of that as Christians. I thought that I was just feeling generous today. And how many of y'all like M&M's in here? Raise your hand if you like M&M's. All right, great. I love them too. And man, I tell you, I love M&M's. Xander, do you like them? No, he's ready to come up here. He's like, all right, you want to come up? All right, come on up here, Xander. I'll give you your choice, buddy. You can either have this bag of M&M's, okay, or a box of Band-Aids. Which one would you rather have? M&M's. Uh-huh. M&M's. Say it louder.
M&M's.
M&M's, all right. Great. Well, here, I tell you what. Let's do this. Go ahead and put your hand out. I'll give you some nice. Oh, what is that? He goes, it's definitely not M&M's. Let me see. Oh, no, I made a mistake. That's my dog's dog food. Here, put it back in there. I'm sorry. Here, put it back in. Here we go. Here, let's get it back in here. There we go. All right, yeah. Oh, man. Let's see what you gave up for the dog food. Let's see. Uh-oh. Three Musketeers. Snickers. The Twix I got from your office, Rob. The rest of it came from me. Reese's peanut butter cups. Oh, man. Things don't always appear as they seem, do they, Xander?
No, they don't.
Are you disappointed?
Yes.
Yeah, he is. Here, take some candy. All right, let's give him a hand. All right, good. Now, let me ask you all a question. Things did not appear as they seemed right there. We had dog food in the M&M bag, and we had this, the Band-Aid box full of candy. Things don't always appear as they seem. Would you guys agree with me that that is true in the spiritual realm too? Yeah, that's exactly what Jesus Christ was teaching, and that's exactly what Paul's teaching in the text before us. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 1. He says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. And all that means right there is that the Holy Spirit has something real important to say. By the way, when you were growing up, did your parents ever look at you and say, now listen up? That's basically what that means. The Spirit speaketh expressly. The Holy Spirit says, listen up. All right, well, what's he got to say? Look at it. That in the latter times, that is eventually, some shall depart from the faith. That word depart means to desert. He says eventually, in the latter times, there'll be people who will depart. They'll desert from the faith. Now, the phrase there, the faith, that speaks of the body of sound doctrine that God gave to the church through the Apostle Paul. Our belief system that we have would be referred to as the faith. The faith. For example, if I began to teach here on Sunday mornings, you came to church and I said, you know what? Jesus Christ's death and burial and resurrection, that's a great thing. But you know, that's not enough to save you. If you want to be saved, yeah, you need to believe that he died and buried and that he rose again. But you've also got to join this church if you want to be saved. And you've also got to be baptized by me. And you have to confess your sins to Pastor Rob. Hey, let me ask you something. Would y'all agree with me if I started preaching that I left the faith? Amen. I would have left that body of sound doctrine that was delivered to us from our apostle, the Apostle Paul. Paul warns Timothy that's exactly what was going to happen. People who once appeared to be sound in the faith would depart from it. They would begin to teach false doctrine. Now, where would the false doctrine come from? We'll look at verse 1 again. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." Listen up, he says, "that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of" what, church? "Devils." Now, he tells you where the false doctrine's going to come from. He says it's going to come from seducing spirits, which, by the way, seducing means imposters. He says it's going to come from seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So literally what he's saying is that the false doctrine is going to come from spiritual imposters who are literally filled with the devil. Now, it's going to be coming out of people, but he tells you where the true source is. It's coming from Satan. He says it is spiritual imposters, seducing spirits, and they are filled with the devil. Christian, we cannot be naive, okay? Thank the Lord that God gave us passages like this, because we cannot be naive and think that every person that carries a Bible and talks about Jesus Christ is a teacher of God's Word. Paul warned that false teachers will in fact appear as the apostles of Jesus Christ. False teachers will appear as angels of light. Everything you pick up in the Christian bookstore is not Christian. Some of it is doctrines of devils. But it looks good on the surface. Look at this passage up here. He says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Did you see that? He says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of" what, church? "Light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So the question that I want to answer this morning is this. We know there will be spiritual imposters that are filled with the devil. And we know it's a reality. We know that it's going to happen. We know Jesus said it. Paul said it. Peter warned about it. It recurs. It's a recurring theme in the New Testament. How do I, as a believer who wants to embrace truth, I want to love truth, I don't want to get sucked in, I don't want to be deceived, how do I detect a spiritual imposter? Number one, and it's all from the text here, number one is this: they speak lies in hypocrisy. They speak lies in hypocrisy. Now, where do I get that from? Well, look at verse 2. Right after he tells you there'd be people who would depart from the faith, that is that sound body of doctrine, and he says there's people who will depart. He said it's coming from seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Then he tells you how they get away with it. Look at verse 2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Now, obviously, church, if they're teaching doctrines of devils, we know they're speaking lies. I mean, we know that. Satan's a liar. He's the father of lies. But notice how they do it. Notice how they do it. They don't just speak lies. I mean, if that's all they did, it'd be easy. Right? They speak lies in what? Hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? It's to decide to act or to speak under a false part. It's to pretend to be something you're not. To me, when I think of a hypocrite, how many of you watch old classic TV like Leave It to Beaver? Y'all remember Eddie Haskell? And Eddie Haskell was a friend of Wally's, a teenage boy, and he would say something very nice to Wally's parents, and as soon as he was out of their sight, of course, he'd tell you what was really in his heart, you know. And it'd be kind of like if Yvette Haskell was a friend of my son here, Caleb, and he would come up to me after church and say, "Pastor Dan, that was a wonderful sermon. I tell you, I could have listened to you all afternoon. Oh, that was so wonderful." And as soon as he's through the door with Caleb, he'd say, "Man, what's wrong with your dad? I didn't think he'd ever shut up today. Man, it was all I could do to stay awake. He's so boring." And that's exactly what it means. Speaking lies and hypocrisy means that you speak under a false part. Now, this is where it gets tricky, because a false teacher does not advertise that they're teaching doctrines of devils. When's the last time you were on I-95 and you went by a billboard and it said, "Come to the First Church of Satan and hear doctrines of devils"? When's the last time you saw that on a billboard? No. That's, they speak lies and hypocrisy. They speak lies, but it has a religious sugar coating. It's got a religious sugar coating. They sprinkle it with enough Bible to deceive a lot of people. They sprinkle it with Bible, and they put this religious sugar coating on it. Now, understand that what we're talking about here are false teachers that speak out-and-out lies. They speak out-and-out lies, but to put it in a way that we might be able to grab a hold of it, they speak lies, but they cover it with Krispy Kreme glaze. Are y'all with me, huh? Yeah. They speak lies and they cover it with Krispy Kreme glaze. In the context here, they lay down rules and regulations and standards of conduct for their flock, but they have no biblical basis, or they're not rightly dividing the Word of God. On top of this, they don't even keep all their religious rules. They pretend to keep it, but they don't. Their own lives are proof of their hypocritical lives. I was talking to a guy one time that had been involved in a denomination that taught that it was sinful to have a TV. And they preached that to their flocks, and that was a religious rule in their denomination that you could not have a TV set. And my friend that I was talking to had kind of moved up through the ranks and had become a preacher in that denomination at one time, and is not anymore, but he was at the time. And he told me, he said, "You know one thing I've found," he said, "as I've gotten to know these preachers," and I said, "What's that?" He said, "You know," he said, "they all preach that you shouldn't have a TV," he said, "but you know what I found out? They all got one." He said, "It may be in the closet at their house, and they pull it out when nobody's home." He said, "But they all got one." You know, another denomination, I know of another denomination, they teach their people they cannot have a TV. It is sinful to watch a TV. But any show you can watch on a TV, it's okay to watch it as long as it's on their laptop computer. So you can watch TV shows on the computer, but you can't have a TV set in your house. Well, thinking people realize that's stupid. That doesn't make sense, but yet people get sucked into that. You know, another denomination that I know of says women cannot cut their hair. They're not allowed to ever cut their hair. How would you like that, ladies, huh? They can never cut their hair. It's sinful, it's wicked, it's wrong to cut your hair. And yet, Denise and I laugh because most all the women that are in that denomination, they take all their hair and they put it up on their head in a little tight bun. So from a distance, it looks like they got no hair. So the whole point is, you're supposed to have, you know, the Bible says women that her hair is her glory. And so they take that and say, never cut your hair. But then they take all that long hair and they just put it all up in here in this little tight bun. So that, you know, from a distance, you can't even hardly tell it's a woman. I don't get it, do you? I don't get that. You know, yeah, we were at SeaWorld. And there was ladies there that were dressed, and they had the hat on their head and no makeup, couldn't cut their hair, had on these clothes. And yet the men, they got on blue jeans and I Love Florida t-shirts on. The guys look completely normal. But the women look like they just stepped out of Little House on the Prairie. I mean it, honestly. I'm not making fun. That's exactly what they look like. I don't know how else to describe it to you, other than the puppy sleeves down to here and, you know, all this. And it looked like a Little House on the Prairie. But yet the guy's got blue jeans on and a cap and I Love Florida. You know, and it's like, I don't get it. You know, I don't get that. Denise and I have talked about that so many times. You know what I found out? That Jesus Christ, as I'm reading in the Gospels, I read and I see that Jesus was merciful, compassionate, and gracious with the down-and-out sinner. But you know what I found out? He was so merciful to a down-and-out sinner, but he had no tolerance for the religious Pharisees. And here's why. It was because they spoke lies in hypocrisy. They spoke lies in hypocrisy, and he knew it. He knew it. He knew it was all a sham. In fact, after you write that in, look up here at the screen. Look what he said. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within you're full of extortion and excess." He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Satan wants to move people away from the simplicity that's in Christ. Satan has his ministers out there, spiritual imposters, that he uses to get people to focus on religious rules or religious experiences rather than focusing on Jesus Christ. Satan can do that in anybody's life. He can do it in your life. To where you begin to think, "I'm okay." Why? Well, because I do this, or because I do that, or because I don't do this, or I don't do that, and I keep this list of rules. And yet it's a religious sham. It's a masquerade. Christ is not living through you. It's all flesh. Christ isn't living through you. You're not living daily by faith in Jesus Christ. And Satan can deceive us into that very easily. You see, how do you detect a spiritual imposter? They speak lies and hypocrisy. But number two, church, their conscience is seared. Their conscience is seared. I want you to look again here at verse number two. He says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Conscience is that within us which enables us to distinguish between right and wrong. Conscience is what separates man from animals. Mankind has a conscience that tells him that things are good or evil, right or wrong, moral or immoral. Listen, friend, we are not animals. And we did not come from animals. We are distinct and a separate creation of God Almighty. The world wants people, and especially young people, to think that they are nothing but a further evolved animal. And when you tell people that, they're going to begin to act like animals. Listen, when was the last time you came to church and saw somebody swinging from the chandeliers? They were going from chandelier to chandelier, and you said, "What in the world is going on?" And somebody looked at you and said, "Well, you know what? He hasn't fully evolved yet. He's still evolving, and still got, you know, from the monkey stage, and so that, you know, he's still evolving." No, we don't see cats evolving into dogs, and we don't see dogs evolving into elephants, and we don't see an elephant evolving into an ape, and we don't see apes today evolving into humans. You don't observe that. You don't see that. Why? Because mankind is a distinct and separate creation of God. We have a conscience that tells us that's right, that's wrong, that's good, that's evil, that's moral, that's immoral. My friend, we are not animals. We are human beings created by God Almighty. And when truth is ignored and truth is rejected, here's the key though. When you take truth and you ignore it, and you take truth and you reject it, it results in a weakened faith which can lead to a seared conscience. When he says that these false teachers speak lies and hypocrisy and they have their conscience seared with a hot iron, seared means to brand, like you'd brand an animal. It means to render unsensitive, like flesh. I've given you an illustration. You play the guitar and the strings cut into your fingers and it hurts real bad. And the pain is terrible. The next day you do it, it hurts. The next day you do it, it hurts. after time, calluses begin to form on your fingers, and you can play the guitar, the strings cut into it, but you don't feel it because it's callous. And that's what he means, that their conscience is seared with a hot iron. They no longer respond. Conscience can no longer be depended on. And when that happens, there is no limit to how far a person can plunge into wickedness. There are religious teachers and spiritual leaders that have used and they have abused people so much they no longer feel any guilt. They don't feel any conviction about it. They even begin to believe their own hypocritical lies. They can become so warped and their conscience can become so seared, they actually think they are doing God a service, when in reality, they are simply the pawns of Satan. They are just the pawns of the devil. But yet they think in their minds that they are doing God some kind of a favor. You know what happens? Here's what happens. Go to Titus. Just go two books to the right. Go to the book of Titus through 1 and 2 Timothy. Keep your bookmarker here. We'll go right back. Look at Titus chapter number 1 there. Titus 1. Titus 1, 15. Just two books to the right. Titus 1, 15. He says, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is what, church? It's defiled." Say it a little bit louder. Their conscience is what? Defiled. Look at verse 16. "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." You know what happens? Listen, there becomes a disconnect between what they say and what they do. Their conscience is seared. They've used and abused people so much. And that's why you'll see people on TV, and man, I mean, honey's flowing out their mouth. And this preacher is just, I mean, just telling you this, and he can bring you to tears, and oh, you're just crying, and you think, oh, and then you hear, hey, this guy, he's embezzled millions of dollars, and you think, how can that be? What happens is their conscience is seared. And they have used and abused people so much that there's a disconnect between what they say and what they do. They speak lies and hypocrisy. He says their conscience is seared. But then there's one final thing. Here it is, number three, very important. Number three, they teach a false religious piety. Piety meaning a devotion to God. They teach a false religious piety or devotion. In Paul's day, false teaching was already very prevalent. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And he talked about it in chapter 1. There was this law-based religion, legalism. And you know what they were teaching? They were teaching that a person becomes holy and they become righteous and they become acceptable to God through self-denial. Paul gives two examples of it in our text. Look at verse 3. Two examples. He says, here's one of them. Here's one of their legalistic commands, forbidding to marry. They forbid to marry. He said there were false teachers in Paul's day that were forbidding to marry. Oh, you can't marry. Why? Because of this or that. Now, that doesn't make any sense when you study the Scriptures. In fact, let's bring it up real quickly. Marriage is honorable in who? Does it say some? No, it says marriage is honorable in what? All. Look at the next verse. Can we go to the next one? It says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let who? Every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let's go to the next verse. Let's go to the next one. Oh, okay. Actually, I'm going to hit that one in a minute, all right? But by the way, how many of you knew this? How many of you all knew that Peter was married? Did y'all know Peter was married? You say, how do you know? Because Matthew 8:14 talks about his mother-in-law being sick. Now, I'm not real smart, but I know you got to be married to have a mother-in-law. I got one. I got me one. And I didn't have one until I got married. Now I got one. And boy, I love her. Don't I? Yeah. She's coming over today for lunch. The Bible says that a bishop, that's the, the leader of a church. He said a bishop should be the husband of one wife. So you see how that make any sense, but yet they get away with teaching this stuff? He's just given a couple of these are just two examples. There's a ton of them. Look at the next one there. Look at verse 3. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Commanding. In other words, you can't eat this meat. You can't eat this kind of food. Oh, it's this day. You can't eat that. Oh, it's this time of the year. You can't eat that. Oh, no, don't eat that. That's wicked. That's wrong. Commanding to abstain. I mean, you look in the text. Look at it. He says, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Now bring up that verse I had. Look at this. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not the doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat, what? All things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Look at this verse. Let's bring it up. 1 Corinthians 8:8. But meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Would y'all agree with me? The Bible's pretty clear that God doesn't tell you to abstain from meat. Amen? All right. We know that. But yet they get away with this. How do the false teachers get away with this? They teach a false religious piety that you're going to become acceptable to God by keeping these rules. Now, he just gave two examples. The possibilities of these religious rules are endless. I told you about the TVs and the hair, and I mean, the possibilities are endless. Listen, folks, listen to me very closely. Religion is a big money business. And false teachers have been exploiting it for centuries. And it always, 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 false religion always revolves around the commandments of men. It always does. In fact, look in your handout. Matthew 15:9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of what? Men. Look at the screen, Colossians 2:22, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Look at the next verse. Titus here. He says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not. Why are they doing it? For a filthy lucre's sake. And then he tells them, don't give heed to Jewish fables and commandments of what? Men that turn from the truth. You know what all that's designed to do, don't you? It's designed to make people reliant on the religious teacher instead of relying on Christ. It's designed to get you to rely on the religious system there instead of relying on Christ. They don't teach the completeness of Christ's work. They're not going to emphasize your sufficiency in Christ, your completeness in Christ. They're not going to talk much about that. They don't want people looking to Christ and His Word. They want people looking to them, relying on them, trusting in them, trusting in the religious system they've created, giving to the religious system to keep it going. They want you to think that they're special. They've got this special line to God. And there is so much religious chicanery and tomfoolery out there today. And it's everywhere you turn. It's on the radio. It's on television. It's all over the web. It's in Christian bookstores. It was prevalent in Paul's day, and it still is today. And it can get so confusing to a believer. But yet, the Bible says, God's given us two very powerful resources. Look with me at verse 5. For it is sanctified. Notice, what's going to straighten out your thinking about these religious issues? It's sanctified by the, and there's two things. What are they? Word of God and prayer. Aren't y'all thankful for those two wonderful resources? Amen? God gave you those resources to be able to detect spiritual imposters. The Word of God and prayer are the key. You've got God's completed Word. And now listen, before you put your hand out up, just hear this statement because I don't want you to miss this. This is going to segue right into next week's message. The Word of God. Listen, by the way, is that book still being written, or is it complete? It is complete. The Word of God is done. And you hear some guy say, I'm getting a revelation from God right away. Beep, beep. I've got all the revelation from God I need right here. All right? You've got God's completed Word, and you've got God's Holy Spirit living inside of you to help you understand the Word of God. You've got direct access to God in prayer. You know what? You don't have to rely on me or Pastor Rob or Pastor Rich or Pastor Shannon to spoon feed you the Bible. You don't have to go through me to stand before the Lord in prayer. Paul said, you know what? We are not here to take dominion over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy. And I want you to know that you don't have to have me to understand the Bible, and you don't have to have me to talk to the Lord in prayer. You have got God's Spirit. You have the completed Word of God. That means you've got God's Spirit to help you to understand the Word of God. A religious imposter isn't going to tell you that, and he's not going to emphasize that. But aren't you thankful? God's told you that in His Word. And you know you're sufficient. You're sufficient in Christ.